This time you're invited to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel. Chapter 16. And so, fair warning, I skip a little ahead in my series because this particular sermon I felt was more related to a youth Sunday than what was in chronological order. So we're going to jump ahead a little bit and go back on track. So where the next two Sundays, I'll be talking about King Saul. But today's scripture, though, for you Sunday, I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 16. From the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provide for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peacefully?" He said, "Peacefully, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely, the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "Oh, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him. We will not sit down till he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Rise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, "See now, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command the servants who attend you to look for someone who is skillful in playing the lyre. When the evil spirit from God is upon you, he will play it, and you will feel better." So Saul said to the servants, "Provide for me someone who can play well, and bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "I have seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a warrior, prudent in speech, a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Jesse took a donkey, loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a kid, and then sent him by his son David to Saul. Then David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul loved him greatly. He became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand, and Saul would be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, as we continue our series through the book of Samuel, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit over Saul on this new Sunday to talk about King David, David the shepherd. And so it starts off in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, where Samuel is kind of depressed, if you will. He is anointing Saul, and Saul has not worked out. And Saul has more or less been fired, in our terminology, by the Lord from being king. And so Samuel's out about this, and he's mourning. You know that there's a time to mourn, but there's also a time to quit mourning. And the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul?" In other words, time's up. It's time to move on. "I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out, and I'll send you to Jesse to Bethlehem Hot, for I provide a king among his sons." And then Samuel says, "Now, Lord, there's a small problem. If I go to Bethlehem knowing a new king, and Saul hears about this, he'll kill me. You know, that won't go over well." And the Lord gives Samuel, frankly, kind of a sneaky alibi. He says, "Take a heifer with you and just tell the folks I come and sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse over for dinner, and I'll tell you which one to pick. Don't worry about it, Samuel. I got you covered. Just go down there and just tell him you're doing priestly business, prophet business." And so Samuel goes down to Bethlehem and talks about how the elders of the city came out to meet him trembling. And you may recall how I gave the analogy a few weeks ago about how it's kind of like when the fire marshal shows up to schools, right? We all start trembling, like, he's here. Did you find anything? Did you see anything? And, you know, is my room in order? Have the kids plugged something up? Should be plugged up? And so the elders come out and say, "Well, Samuel, are you here peacefully?" And he says, "I have come peacefully. I have come to offer sacrifice to the Lord. Sacrifice yourselves and come with me to sacrifice." And then he sent an invitation to Jesse. And so here comes Jesse with his sons. And then he has a son by the name of Eliab shows up. Eliab's a tall kid. And I thought I'd have a little fun with this. Clint, God bar you for a second. No, you're just saying right here, I don't know if I'm going to do anything too crazy today, you know. Now, you see, Clint, you're a tall guy. The hair makes you even taller. You're athletic, track, cross country. You're pretty smart. You get at wars every once in a while at Central. You got pretty good attendance. You got a clean driving record, too, don't you? All right. Samuel looks and says, "Well, this must be the Lord's doing right here." And the Lord says, "Nope. Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." I'm sorry, Clint. You got to sit down. Now, you think about it. What is the measure of a man? In our society, we use measurements like wealth. Is he in the Forbes top 10, top 100? How much money does he have? Or maybe power. Does he hold elective office? Is he a governor or a senator or the president? Maybe good looks. Is he on the movie screen? Is he intelligent? Is he an Einstein, super brilliant, Stephen Hawking? How do we measure a person? And so often we measure by the outward appearance. We even have TV shows about that, don't we? I know there's commercials coming on for a new season of, what is it, The Bachelorette? Yeah, I see some heads nod. You know what I'm talking about. And all I say, why in the world you want to marry some old gal who's been kissing all these other guys? Or when it's a bachelor, right? Why do you want some guy who's been kissing all these girls? You know? I mean, how desperate can you get for a husband or wife if you got on reality TV to find one? And so often it is being based on the outward appearance, and then they get surprised, and that person they thought was so good looking was a jerk. Because, you know, beauty is skin deep, but ugly is to the bone, isn't it? And so Jesse makes son number two walk by, and Samuel's like, nope, next. And then son number three, four, five, bless you, six, seven. And Samuel's like, well, there must be a mistake. The man came to dinner with seven sons. No, kind of the movie, right? Seven wives, seven sons. Remember that movie? And the Lord rejected all seven of them. What happened? And so Samuel turns to Jesse and says, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these. He says, are all your sons here? Oh, yes. Well, there remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep. In other words, he's in the backyard. He's keeping the sheep. I didn't invite him to dinner. Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. So in from the door, from hanging out with all the backyard animals, comes in David. Levi, come on down here. Now, see, Samuel was measuring folks with the measuring tape, wasn't he? He's like, this guy's tall. He's tall like Saul. He must be it. Nope. Nope. Or maybe give an IQ test, right? Measure that way. Nope. Or maybe look at the bank statement. Measure it that way. Nope. You know, all those are ways to measure somebody. They're all mathematical. But the Lord does not look at that. The Lord looks at your heart. He says he comes in, and the Lord said to Samuel, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Now, you imagine the shock that had to be, because there has to be dear old dad, Jesse, thinking, what did he pick him for? I don't know. And I can imagine those seven brothers are going, how did we lose to David? David, really? He's just like the run in the pack. Why him? And then it says that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. So here's a little guy, not very big at this point in his life. He's in the backyard taking care of the sheep. His dad's attitude was, he can stay back there. Don't buy him dinner. He's not that important. And yet the Lord told Samuel, this is my man. He's the one. And then our scripture goes to the next story, and scholars disagree whether this is in the correct chronological order. Something just happened after the famous David and Goliath situation. And others think it came before that, but either way, though, King Saul is having some issues. He's being tormented by an evil spirit. And some of his viewers say, Saul, what you need is some good old gospel music. You need somebody to play the lyre and sing some music to you. Turn that radio on. And he said, well, go find someone. Bring them to me. And someone says, you know, there's a guy in town in Bethlehem named Jesse, and he's got a kid. And this kid is a man of valor, a warrior. That's why we kind of think this happened after David and Goliath. A warrior, prudent in speech, a man of good presence. And listen to this. And the Lord is with him. And so Saul sends for him. In verse 23, and whenever the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. And Saul be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Think about that. Here's Saul being tormented by an evil spirit. This kid comes in with his little harp, and our culture would be like the guitar, right? The string instrument. He said, hey, King, let me sing you a song I wrote. I wrote this song out when I was out with my sheep. A song riding with your sheep? What good is that going to do us? And maybe King Saul, the first person to hear the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He makes me to walk on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, then comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overrunneth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me in all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You know, it'd be kind of hard. The devil would give you a hard time, wouldn't it, if you're listening to that, when you're meditating on that, when God speaks his words into your heart. And so here's King, little, not King David yet, but Shepherd David. He's in the backyard. He gets called in at the very last minute. He gets anointed and says, you're the king of Israel. And then later on, he's in the court with the king and sings to him a song about God's providence. And in doing so, the evil spirit would leave King Saul. A man of good presence, the Lord is with him. Now, what about us? How do you measure up? Do you measure up by looking how tall you are, or how much you weigh, how big your muscles are? Do you measure up by your IQ? Or when you do your taxes and do your W-2 form, how much money you made? Now, don't get me wrong, good health and good looks and good brains, a good checking account, all those are blessings from God. Don't discount those. But the real question, though, is, how's your heart? Now, I'm talking about the blood pressure and the cholesterol and what the cardiologist says. How's your heart? How's your spirit? Man judges by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the man's heart. Now, we did a psalm earlier about how God looks at your heart and such. But now, for our call to worship, how's your heart? David was a man of God's own heart. And that's why the Lord said, this is my chosen one. I've anointed him as king. And it was so obvious that it was a man of God's own heart that even the king's servants says, I've seen a guy, skilled the heart, a man of valor, a good presence, and the Lord is with him. We should live our lives in such a manner that we have a clean heart. It doesn't matter how tall we are, how smart we are, whether we can lift 100 pounds or win Jeopardy, none of that matters. It should be, folks say, of us. Here's a person of good presence. The Lord is with him. Because that's what's on the inside, the heart. Thanks be to God. Amen.